Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Diane Yap, a professional seller of opinions, perhaps you would call her an influencer, who made waves this week for suggesting that instead of receiving SNAP benefits, it can be spent on almost any food item at the grocery store. Perhaps wealth-impaired persons should simply be given Nutriloaf to keep them alive. For those of you who do not know, Nutriloaf is a bland, nutritionally complete food sometimes referred to as prison loaf, because it is given to justice-involved persons who misbehave or cannot be entrusted with utensils while incarcerated. Yap wrote, "The point of EBT is to ensure people don't starve to death. That's it. Even if we agree that it's a worthwhile goal, it can be achieved with Nutriloaf. Nutriloaf provides the correct incentives. You won't starve, and you'll be motivated to earn enough money to eat real food again." How dare she? Does she not realize that we are doing everything we can to make people dependent on government rather than to give them reasons to be self-reliant and to render government assistance unnecessary? And does she not realize that the point of SNAP isn't merely to keep people alive, but to give them a quality of life that is similar to the next level up the socioeconomic ladder, but who does not qualify for the assistance themselves? The idea is that people who do go out to work won't get ahead of the people who don't go out to work. We're trying to show people that government can be your sugar daddy too, giving you just as sweet a life as any job or man. And also, how dare she say that it would be okay to make people experiencing lower income styles eat food that is completely nutritious and would have been enthusiastically received as life-saving for millions of starving people over the history of the planet? And how dare she offer a food used as punishment for law non-conforming persons to be used as some kind of incentive for the economically disadvantaged? Do they not deserve a nice steak and a Coca-Cola and some cool ranch Doritos just like the rest of us? Of course they do. And just because every once in a while someone who works at one or more jobs and has thus earned too much money to be eligible for SNAP has to stand in line at the grocery store watching the unemployed person in front of them use an EBT card to buy groceries they can't afford for themselves, how is that a bad thing? That just reminds them how great government really is and gives them more reason to give up the silly job or jobs, gain back their free time by leaving the labor market and live off the dole like so many other lifestyle entrepreneurs do. In fact, rather than reducing the quality of food government provides to SNAP recipients, we think many other goods and services can follow the SNAP model of providing a better quality of life through government assistance. Instead of inferior and inconvenient public transit, which you might call the neutral loaf of transportation, why not give transit-challenged persons government Fords and Chevys so they can arrive at the grocery store in style when they go spend their SNAP money? Why should the fact that they don't earn enough to afford a car themselves mean they don't get to enjoy the same level of luxury and convenience as people with one or two or three jobs can? Second, instead of having to wear hand-me-downs, thrift shop recycles, or bargain store offerings, let's recognize the right of the poor to look and feel good about themselves by giving them a clothing allowance at Ross or TJ Maxx. And really, if they're going to get government clothes, why shouldn't they be able to get them at Target or Kohl's or even Dillard's or Nordstrom? After all, why should finance-constrained people have to dress like they're finance-constrained? Don't make them wear Nutriloaf clothes. And third, why should people who earn the least or not at all in our society have to suffer the indignity of living in older, smaller, or less desirable accommodations? Can we not find it in our hearts to give them all single-family detached three-bedroom homes in nice neighborhoods? If we're going to create a social society, a social safety net for food, clothing, and transportation, why not for shelter as well? Don't make them live in Nutriloaf homes. If government is going to be the sugar daddy, well, let the sugar daddy sugar. So no, there is no place in our society of equity and economic justice for people like Diane Yap, who subscribe to the mean, horrible idea that people should enjoy only the fruits of their own labor and get just enough help from the rest of us not to perish. Take your wicked ideas about self-reliance and the profit motive elsewhere. We see you for what you are, you filthy free market capitalist. Woe unto all who offend. Second, Vice President J.D. Vance, who last week said one of the most bigoted, intolerant, hateful, judgmental things we have ever heard a man say when talking about his wife, Usha.
Do I hope eventually that she is somehow moved by the same thing that I was moved in by church? Yeah, I honestly do wish that. because I believe in the Christian gospel, and I hope eventually my wife comes to see it the same way.
That's right. In front of a crowd of Ole Miss students, Vance actually said that he hopes his Hindu-raised wife might one day come to accept the Christian gospel as he has and join him as a faithful Catholic. If your jaw's on the floor as mine was, you already understand just how atrocious this is. Does this man have no shame? Wanting his wife to renounce the religion of her parents and of her youth, separating her from the traditions of her family just so she can be assured of her salvation through Jesus Christ and her place in eternal communion with the God of the Bible, expressing his desire that their love for each other might continue for all eternity in heaven. How dare he care about her eternal soul? Who exactly does he think he is to insult her like that? Obviously, this man has never realized how demeaning it is to all the other religions of the world to claim not only that there is a single true religion, but it's the one he prefers, Christianity. The arrogance to deny our core tenet of pluralism, that all paths lead to the top of the mountain, and that it doesn't matter what you believe about Gaia, as long as you believe something about her that works for you. Now, I know some of you may realize that in claiming that all religions are equally valid, we're also, of course, saying that all of them are equally mistaken. In other words, by our declaration that there are no real fundamental truths about God, whoever she is, we are actually insulting every single one of the world's faith traditions, which at least all agree that what you believe about such things matters. But have no fear, dear brethren. We know that our form of dogma, that there are no true dogmas, is just the kind of dogma that everyone else should accept. Or else. So when Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one may come to the Father except by him, and then J.D. Vance has the temerity to actually believe this and hope his wife will as well, we rightly condemn such narrow-minded and arrogant claims that all other religions are somehow off track or misguided. Instead, the real truth is that all religions are off track and misguided, which is why it's perfectly okay to believe any of them, as long as you don't really believe any of them. It's really believing in anything that bothers us. Our core faith, that you should not have core faiths, is of course the only core faith that really matters, especially since our core faith says that everyone else's core faiths are wrong. And that's why we spend so much time going around trying to evangelize everyone with our holy gospel of uncertainty and indifference, trying to reason, cajole, and shame them into accepting our faith and lack of faith instead of their own faith in whatever they currently have faith in. So for standing in the way and daring to claim that someone from another religion should convert to theirs, we cast thee out of our talking circle of total inclusion for everyone except those who think that not everyone should be included. See? It's totally logical. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, Kelsey Grammer, the 70-year-old Juilliard-trained actor who became famous portraying Dr. Fraser Crane, the mildly pompous psychologist from Cheers, whose most sympathetic quality was having to endure his marriage to Lilith. Well, this week, Grammer announced that he and his real-life 46-year-old former stewardess wife Katie have given birth to their fourth child together after 14 years of marriage, which brings his total number of babies manufactured to the unbelievably irresponsible total of 8. One with his first wife, one with his girlfriend before his second wife, with whom he had no children, and two with his third wife before marrying Kate, who now they have assembled 4 more. Where, oh, where to begin? But before we begin to explain the grounds for excommunication, we do want to commend Grammer for so boldly practicing the fine American art of non-contemporary polygamy. You know, having multiple wives, just not at the same time, thus decidedly helping to undermine the silly Christian concept of marrying just one person forever. Anybody who over time has so many marriages and children, legitimate and otherwise, with so many different women is really doing excellent work to show people that till death do us part is a pretty silly restriction. So well done on that front. But not at all well done on being the supervisor of his own out-of-control baby breeding factory. 8 children? Do you not realize how much work we've invested in making people want to avoid having children? Because of the damage to the environment? Because of the scarcity of resources available to raise them on a planet of 8 billion people? Because of a general terror that this world is no longer worth bringing a child into, despite human existence being, you know, more prosperous than at any time in the history of the planet? And because of the awful loss of personal fun when you have to stay home at night instead of living your best child-free lifestyle. For what? So that other people can have life too, and so that you can reap the blessings of maturity that only come from parenthood? Seriously? We finally have people delaying marriage, delaying childbirth, and reducing the number of children they have and thinking this is perfectly fine, and then you come along and make 8 of them? You've done all this great work to degrade the institution of marriage, and then you turn right around and live out the biblical directive to be fruitful and multiply. You literally multiplied yourself pretty much everywhere you had the chance. Talk about spreading your seed. Who do you think you are, Nick Cannon? And aside from the chauvinism of Tom Cruising, you know, constantly marrying younger and younger women as you continue to get older and older, you've now joined Al Pacino in the Old Fathers Hall of Infamy. thereby ruining the work we've done to get parents who have made a baby or two to also stop having children too early in life. Even getting Katie pregnant at 46 only serves to remind middle-aged women that there are many more children they could have if they're willing, even past their 40th birthday. How dare you take away people's excuses for not having more kids? No, Mr. Grammer, you know full well that our family size motto is be fruitless and subtract. So for reminding people that you're never too old to make more children, for reconnecting the ideas of sex and childbirth that we've tried so hard to separate, and for ruining the planet with 16 more carbon footprints, we hereby cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.